Good morning and welcome to the K-State Research and Extension Report, today featuring Frontier Extension District Director and Family and Community Wellness Agent Rebecca McFarland. Good morning.
Good morning.
And what are we talking about today?
Well, I actually follow, receive emails from the Child Mind Institute. And so I ran across this article recently and thought it was really important information to share about helping kids with flexible thinking. And of course, as the pandemic stretches on, we've all had to learn new skills to manage the stress. And bouncing back from disappointment, going with the flow when plans change unexpectedly, and getting comfortable with change and managing uncertainty is really exhausting. But there is an upside to this, and that is that many of the skills that we've been forced to practice rely on a key executive function called flexible thinking. And so really, this skill has lifelong benefits, and it's one that many kids and, of course, some adults too often struggle to learn. So I really want to talk about, again, helping our kids. And a lot of times we learn things ourselves as adults with flexible thinking. So flexible thinking is the ability to think about things in a new or different way, and it helps us deal with uncertainty, solve problems, adjust to changes, and incorporate new information into our plans and ideas. It is a key aspect of self-regulation and handling those big emotions as well. And so when kids are able to take a flexible approach to a problem, they're less likely to fall apart when things don't go according to plan. So kids who can think flexibly are more adaptable and less likely to see setbacks as an unfixable disaster. So how do we help kids with flexible thinking? The first thing is to validate emotions. So really, it's really difficult to manage disappointment or uncertainty, and that's okay. And so it's important as adults that we validate kids' feelings, no matter how outsized or confusing they may be, before we try to move on. And so it's important to, again, validate that emotion by saying, I see how sad you are that your cousins couldn't come visit this year. I know you miss them. I do. It's really hard. So when kids feel heard and understood, they're less likely to dwell on the negative emotion and more able to move on to finding a solution. The second one is get them involved. Remember, getting frustrated or sad to acceptance and action takes time. So it takes time to move on from that frustration and sadness to acceptance and then taking that action. Kids may not respond as quickly as we would like them to. And so when that happens, be patient and encourage kids to try flexible thinking to help manage that distress and build resilience. So you could say something like, I can see you're still really missing your cousins. I wonder if there's anything that might help. Maybe we could write them a letter and you could decorate it. So when kids are ready, invite them to help you come up with ideas for how to manage uncertainty as well as difficult changes. The third one is to model flexibility. And I think most of us know that kids look to parents and other adults in their lives for cues on how to behave. And so modeling healthy coping skills will help you and your child develop better habits and feel less overwhelmed when things don't go as expected. So speaking your thoughts aloud as you solve a problem is a great way to do this. For example, if a friend says they're not comfortable eating at a restaurant for a planned dinner, let your child see you processing that change in a healthy way. You might say, oh, that's disappointing. I know. I'll suggest we all bundle up and eat takeout on the deck instead. So when your child sees you navigate changes or surprises in a reasonable, solution-focused way, they'll be more likely to do the same. It's also important to let kids see you cope when there's not an immediate solution to be had. So, for example, if your child is wondering whether changes in the pandemic will affect their school, you can say, right now we just don't know. It can feel frustrating and scary to not have the answer, but there's no reason to panic right now. So relying on strategies to reduce your stress levels in the meantime, whether that's going for a walk, maybe it's listening to music, taking deep breaths, or calling a friend, or whatever works for you, show kids that in certain situations doesn't have to feel like a disaster. So I want to end with saying that, again, flexible thinking is very difficult, again, many adults maybe still struggle with this, but if you feel like your child's experiencing some mental health issues like anxiety or depression, or your family has recently experienced a traumatic event, like the loss of a loved one, a job, or a home, it's really important to think about getting some assistance, getting some help, checking with a pediatrician, a clinician, or maybe a school counselor to help you navigate this situation. Lars, I'm going to stop for today, and we'll mention that if anyone has questions about flexible thinking and wants more information, they're certainly welcome to call me here at the Ottawa office at 785-229-3520.
All righty, thank you. Tune in tomorrow morning at 6:40 for Mary Dezine Extension District Agricultural and Natural Resources Agent, specializing in crop production and horticulture, Caitlin Barthol.